Hello again, and welcome back to another episode of Nerds Polish Turds. I'm your host, Avery Polinori, and with me today is one of my co-hosts, Tanner. How's it going, Tanner?
Pretty good.
Pretty good.
Happy spooky season.
Happy spooky season to you as well. As of recording this, we are just days away from Halloween, and I'm going to try to edit this like a madman to get this in our last episode up. Probably on Halloween. So we'll see what happens there. Sadly, today we had a tragic loss. 2020 struck again, and we are without our third co-host, Mason, because his internet is down. So he was not able to watch the movie or stream or record with us, which, you know, That's what happens when we record remotely. This is the podcast game, and flexibility is the name, or something like that. Yes, okay. But Tanner's here with me, and Tanner has lots of great nerdy ideas as always, so we'll probably just have a little bit of a shorter podcast. Tanner, what is Nerds Polish Turds for any potential first-time listeners?
All right. Well, it is when we take a crappy movie, usually it's got low ratings, and we talk about it and kind of come up with ideas or ways that could make it better. But at the end of the day, because it's bad, it will still be bad.
That's right. That you can only polish a turd so much, it'll still be a turd in the end. Apparently, we discovered in one of our early episodes that that's not a very common phrase, and I had to explain that to Tanner, and I'm sure a lot of people. But you know, it's got a lot of pun potential. So this week we watched the movie Ghost Rider with Nicolas Cage, which I'm sure is not going to be our first Nicolas Cage movie that we watch on this podcast. But yeah, so the first part of this, we're going to go into the recap. Basically, Ghost Rider opens up with the OG Ghost Rider. Sorry, I'm going to have to look up the cast so I get everyone's names right. We'll edit this part out. Ghost Rider.
That's why you edit.
That's right. Okay, cast. So we have a narration from a character played by Sam Elliott, who's basically the white cowboy Morgan Freeman, with his voice at least. And he tells us about the legend of the Ghost Rider, a bounty hunter for the devil who collects souls, and how he was charged by the devil to find this scroll that basically has all of these souls that will do something important, but the Ghost Rider decides that he can't let that devil have it, so he outran the devil, who didn't really try to chase him, but he still outran him. We flash forward. We're not sure how much time has passed, but we find young Johnny Blaze and his father are both circus stuntmen on motorcycles. They like to pull all these awesome stunts, but the dad is like, hey son, you don't want to get yourself killed, you got your girlfriend to think about. And his girlfriend is Roxanne Simpson, whose dad thinks that she is too good for Johnny Blaze, because Johnny Blaze is a bad boy who does bad things like ride his motorcycle through fire. Anyway, we find out that Johnny's dad isn't doing too well. He's got cancer because of his smoking habit. So Johnny gets approached by the devil one night while he's working on his bike. And the devil says that if he works for him, then he will save his father from cancer. So Johnny sort of agrees. His blood is signed in the devil's book. And then the next day, Johnny's dad has no cancer. He feels great. But then as soon as he pulls a stunt, he gets in an accident and he dies, because that's how the devil be, pulling a 180 on you. So Johnny confronts the devil. He's like, hey, you tricked me. And the devil's like, well, I saved your dad. Blah, blah, blah. You know, loopholes. Really would have helped if Johnny had an angel or a lawyer, but apparently neither of those were available at the time. So Johnny, who wanted to run away with Roxanne, decides not to because he knows that he is now cursed by the devil. Then we flash forward, I don't know, what was it, like 10 years, 20 years?
Probably, yeah, 15.
Yeah, whatever, 15 however years.
However old Nicolas Cage is.
However old Nicolas Cage was at the time. So we now have an older Johnny Blaze, who is now a famous, world-famous motorcycle stuntman, and he keeps pulling these more dangerous and dangerous stunts, and this gains the attention of reporter and former ex-girlfriend Roxanne. Roxanne wants to just get down to business. Johnny wants to go out on a date with her, and then the devil comes a-knocking because the devil's son, whose name is Blackheart, decides, wait, he was the devil's son, right?
Yeah.
Okay. I wasn't sure. I was trying to look for the part where he stated it.
Comically, no, but like in the comics, no, but in the movie, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. So, anyway, this demon who looks to be the son of the devil, as far as we can tell, Blackheart gathers this army of these super powerful demons who can basically turn their bodies into different elements, earth, water, and not fire, but
wind.
Yeah. And then Blackheart can turn people's hearts black and then their soul freezes or something like that. Blackheart wants this scroll that was talked about at the beginning that has all these different souls on it. So Blackheart's trying to hunt that down. The devil doesn't want that to happen. So the devil asks Johnny to be his ghostwriter. Johnny's like, heck no, I got a date with Roxanne. And then while Johnny is getting ready for his date, he basically gets turned into a fiery skull demon creature while Roxanne is left waiting at the restaurant. As ghostwriter, he goes and attacks Blackheart and his crew. He kills one of them. We discover he can like burn souls and burn demons and anything he picks up he can use as a weapon. Like he uses a chain and it makes it like a fiery chain whip thing. And then it also transforms his motorcycle into this big metal goat monster with flames. And then the next day after Johnny goes on this Ghost Rider adventure, he wakes up as himself in the graveyard and he meets the caretaker, who is played by Sam Elliott. Sam Elliott's caretaker character explains to Johnny that he will have that happen at night. Johnny doesn't seem to question why he knows so much, but he is a little suspicious. Johnny goes back to his apartment. He uses some of these books that he's been using for years to try to figure out how he can undo his curse with the devil. And then he realizes that he can start to control the Ghost Rider inside of him. And then in that moment, Roxanne comes. She's like, hey, what the heck, dude? You stood me up. And Johnny goes, well, I was turned into a ghost skull thing. And she's like, okay, well, you're either crazy or lying to me. Because, you know, some people aren't all about that commitment, especially motorcycle stuntmen. But that's not what's going on here. But he can't explain that to Roxanne and get her to believe him. So Roxanne leaves. Ghost Rider goes and does some Ghost Rider stuff. He gets arrested by the police because they think he's involved in some murder, which he was, but not the murders that they are pinning on him. He just murdered like some bad guys. So they bring him in because apparently when he entered the town, the murders happened and no one else entered the town on the same exact day as him. Really, they should have brought in Roxanne for questioning too. Anyway, I'm getting lost here. Then Johnny, inside the prison, turns into the Ghost Rider. He burns the souls of a bunch of prisoners and beats them up and stuff. And then he leaves the prison. And then the police chase him on his Ghost Rider motorcycle. Roxanne sees him and realizes that Johnny was telling the truth. And then he wakes up again in the graveyard. And then he finds out from the caretaker that he was the last Ghost Rider and he has the scroll. Or that he buried it, something like that. Then Blackheart, who saw Roxanne and the way that she and the Ghost Rider looked at each other, realizes that Johnny cares about her. So he captures her and says that if Johnny does not work for him and get the scroll, then he will freeze Roxanne's heart also. So Johnny agrees to it. He goes to the caretaker. The caretaker says because he's motivated by love, then God's on his side. So he gives him the scroll, which is probably stupid, especially because we see how this all goes down. Seems like Johnny has a plan, but he doesn't really. The caretaker says he'll help Johnny, but he really just turns into the Ghost Rider one last time and rides with him. And then they get to the place where they're supposed to meet Blackheart, which is this old like church burial ground place where all these saints were buried. That's a basically connected to the scroll that has all these souls that it can control. Anyway, so they get there and then the caretaker, Sam Elliott Ghost Rider, says, well, I can't do anything else. I rode here, but I'm done now. And then he goes back home. Johnny goes in. He starts to give Blackheart the scroll once he lets Roxanne go, but then he turns to the Ghost Rider and then the whole fight ensues. Blackheart ends up getting the scroll. Then the daylight comes and Johnny can't turn into the Ghost Rider because he can only do it at night. Oh my gosh. So much. But then Johnny and Roxanne use the power of a shotgun and some fists to get the now soul-powered Blackheart into the shadows where Johnny can turn into Ghost Rider. And then he uses his Ghost Rider shadowy hand to turn the shotgun into a Ghost Rider gun. And he shoots Blackheart and it busts him apart. But because he's got the soul powers, he comes back together. So then Ghost Rider goes and he holds up Blackheart. He stares into all the souls that are now inside him and he burns all the souls. Therefore, Blackheart is useless now. And the devil comes and he's like, you did your job. You can now be Johnny Blaze again and I'll make someone else the Ghost Rider. And for some reason, even though this is what he was seeking out the whole movie and he can finally be with the one he loves, Johnny says, no, I'm going to use my Ghost Rider powers to stop you whenever you're doing bad stuff, devil. And the devil gets mad about this and leaves. And Roxanne's like, okay, I'm cool with this. Even though we've both confessed our love with each other, for each other, we can have this mutual breakup. And then Johnny goes riding off into the wind as Ghost Rider. Cut to credits. The end. For now. Because there's a sequel, which we're not going to watch for this episode. But yeah, so that was the recap. There's so much that happens in that movie, Tanner.
I know. I don't know. I feel like there's a lot that happened, but it feel like nothing happens to an extent also.
Yeah, like nothing of substance.
Yeah.
It's like you have a bucket of fries and someone squirted ketchup all over the top of it, but none of the ketchup got to the fries underneath. It's all the fries on top.
It's a good analogy.
I don't know why I thought of French fries. Maybe it's because they were at the fair at one point. but yeah. So anyway, we're going to take a quick break since we just did the recap and we will be right back. And we are back. All right. So Tanner, now we're going to get into the crap yap, which for first time listeners are the moments where we talk about everything that we thought was crappy about the movie. So Tanner, what do you got to yap about Ghost Rider?
Ooh, I'm starting Blackheart. I just didn't care for him. He just nothing. He wasn't very interesting. He's just very one dimensional.
Yeah.
And like, there's like no backstory even to like the reason like why he wanted this list of souls. It's just kind of like he's going after it. He just kind of, and they, even how they introduced him, he just kind of like came out of nowhere. And he's like, I'm going after the list. And it's just like, okay, you go for it, man.
Yeah. And then like, as soon as they introduce him, he has like a little smile for the camera moment where he does his like monster face.
Yeah.
Like when there's no one there in the scene. It's like, this moment was just for the trailer.
Yeah. Little like random, the random jump scares in the movie that were like, trying to scare you, but they were not scary.
Yeah.
Those two. Weird.
Yeah. It's like, does the movie, it's almost like the movie was towing this fine line of not knowing if it wanted to be like a fun superhero movie or like a straight up horror movie.
Yeah.
Which you can do a little bit of both, but I feel like you got to kind of lean into one more than the other if you're going to make it feel authentic.
Yeah, I agree.
But yeah, what you said about Blackheart, he is such a terrible villain. Like, there's hints that there could be something more there, where someone mentions his the devil, his father's name, which we forgot to mention is the Marvel Comics version of it, Mephistopheles, I think is how they say it. So, if he's not technically like Satan, but he's the Marvel devil, essentially. But like when someone mentions Mephistopheles' name, Blackheart's like, never say his name. We don't get like, that's the biggest hint we got. It seemed like he was almost just doing everything just to make his dad mad at him or something, like rebel against him.
Yeah.
Didn't have any real reason for wanting to do it. It wasn't even like clear if he wanted to take over the earth or like go to war with heaven or something. But yeah. What'd you think about Nicolas Cage's Ghost Rider?
I thought it was okay. I mean, yeah. I don't know. I think it's like, I don't know enough about the Ghost Rider comics to like be like, oh, he was great for it or terrible for it, you know? So yeah. I can't really like, we're like, oh yeah, Robert Downey Jr. is Iron Man.
Right.
But yeah, I don't know enough about Ghost Rider to like really say like he was a great Ghost Rider.
Did you buy him as like a kind of country like motorcycle enthusiast bad boy type?
I think so. I think they sold it enough.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm sure there's people that could have been better for it, but
true.
I think they sold it.
I think if this movie came out today and Nicolas Cage was in the role, like as this version of Johnny Storm, it would be a little weird. But I think because like where Nick was at that time in his career, it does kind of like you are able to buy it. Also, they hid his hairline.
I heard like that wig, like the wig they put on took like 3 hours to take. Like it took them 3 hours to put it on.
Oh my gosh. They just don't bother with that in the sequel, thankfully. Did you also hear that they gave him CGI abs for the scene where he had his
shirt off? I've heard about that, but I think a writer came out and denied it. One of the writers. Well, but you never know.
Good on Nicolas Cage. I mean, there's always like things where post-production they're like touching things up here and there. Like
I guess I'd have to watch it again.
Yeah.
Because like 2007 CGI, I don't know. I would think it would look too realistic compared to today.
Yeah. There's like a picture on the internet of the shot where he's like, I don't know, getting out of the shower or something. They do look weird, but I don't know. Maybe weird enough where they're actually just real and they are real abs. Because they probably would look too perfect if they were CGI.
Not Henry Cavill facial. Weird.
Yeah, not like the mustache problem of Justice League, thankfully. But yeah, we won't get caught up on that though. What did you think of Roxanne as a character?
Like, I liked the setup with her at the beginning. That was really good. But I just feel like it was just kind of weird to have her there throughout the movie. She didn't add a lot other than like, hey, I'm this old flame. I'm coming to interview you randomly.
Yeah.
Anyway, like, I guess mainly, I guess, like, mainly for my career. And it was just kind of weird the way she acted towards Johnny. It's like she wanted nothing to do with him. I don't know.
Right.
I don't like it.
Yeah, she didn't seem like very well fleshed out or like have real reactions to anything.
Yeah.
She was like, oh, Johnny, stop it. Oh, kiss me, Johnny. Just kidding. I don't know.
Yeah. So weird.
Very back and forth all the time. And apparently she was in love with him. It was weird. Yeah. But yeah, it was, there's always got to be like a reporter type also as the main love interest.
Yeah.
I feel like it would have been more interesting if they had stayed together and then like the Ghost Rider thing happened and then they realized they couldn't stay together or something.
Yeah, that would have been better.
Yeah.
It would actually like give some substance to their relationship.
Yeah. In terms of the action, what did you think it was? I mean, we got to consider also the time that this came out. This is like pre-MCU superhero movies, pre-Dark Knight. Like the bar was kind of lower. Sure, we had like the Spider-Man and X-Men movies, but they were like the diamonds in the rough. Most of these were pretty rough, but
yeah.
And in terms of superhero action, did you enjoy it? Was there something to be desired?
I think I was okay with like the police chase scene when he breaks out of jail. That one was like the high point of the action for me.
Yeah.
It's like, that's kind of fun and crazy. I think that's why it worked. But like the final boss battle, it just did not sit well with me. It was just kind of boring.
Yeah.
Didn't feel like there was really stakes. And then even if there were, I mean, there were a little bit of stakes, but wasn't executed in a way that made it enjoyable or fun.
Yeah. It's like with the final boss with Blackheart having all the souls in him, you know he's either A, unbeatable, or there's going to be some secret thing where he beats him in like an instant. And it ended up being like the second thing. Had to figure it out, basically. But I do agree. I did think the police chase was kind of fun. And you really get to see him using his motorcycle and chain in a bunch of different ways. And not just like constantly killing people too, because like, it wouldn't really make him a superhero if he was just killing all the cops and everything.
Yeah.
But it's interesting, like, how I think his powers shined better when he was going up against people where he didn't need his powers as much. And then when he was going up against the demons, it was, like, over in, like, 2 seconds because they couldn't figure out of a cool way to have them use their powers.
Yeah.
And they also just had like no reason for being there other than looking cool, and they really looked stupid. Especially that one with all the dreadlocks and the mustache.
Yeah.
But yeah. What do you think of the addition of the Sam Elliott like older Ghost Rider character?
I actually love him. Just, I think it's kind of cool.
Yeah.
Like, showing that, like, this has been going on for years, and I like Sam Elliott, and it kind of helps give it that little bit of a Western vibe more, because he's, like, an actual cowboy.
True.
And yeah. I think, like, one of my favorite moments is, like, their ride together, because it's just kind of cool to be, like, these two guys who have the same, now, you know, going through the same thing, just riding along together.
Yeah. It almost felt like there should have been more of that in there, like more of him training him how to control it or something.
Yeah, like a mentee. That would have been good.
And see him in action.
Yeah.
I think Sam Elliott definitely was perfect casting for that character because he brings that like that Western charm to it and everything as a cowboy type. Yeah. So casting wise, at least with the three heroes, we'll call them, like Johnny, Roxanne, and old Ghost Rider. I think they did pretty well there. And then, like, the villain, maybe Mephistopheles / the Devil was pretty good, too. But
I like Peter Fonda. He's good.
Yeah. Everyone else
It wasn't much for him to do, but he's good in that role, I think.
Yeah, everyone else is kind of like meh.
Yeah.
I wonder if this movie was like influenced by Blade at all. Have you seen Blade?
I haven't, but based on what I know of Blade, I'm sure it was a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, Blade's definitely like a harder R than this movie for sure. But
I think they're trying to find, I think they're going to find that balance of like Blade and the Spider-Man X-Men.
Yeah. I don't know, but they probably wanted him, if it was successful, to like cross over with some of those characters at some point, I'd imagine. Yeah. Or, but, Ghost Rider was, I believe, Sony, like Spider-Man.
Yeah,
was.
Sony, yeah. I heard anything about Spider-Man 3 came out probably about the same year, 2007, roughly, I think.
Really?
Ghost Rider came out in 07. I can't remember when Spider-Man 3 came out.
Yeah, that is when Spider-Man 3 came out.
So,
huh?
You have to wonder.
Yeah,
if they were planning something.
Ghost Rider 2, Spirit of Vengeance, came out in 2011, so it was already in the middle of the Marvel Cinematic Universe going on.
And that's a year before Andrew Garfield Amazing Spider-Man came out.
That's true. I think they made the second one under the label of Marvel Knights because they were hoping to, like, which is technically through Marvel Studios. I think there was maybe the thought of like having a darker like Avengers build up type team with like Daredevil and Punisher.
Yeah.
And probably Blade. They could still do that too, because they have the rights to all these characters now.
Yeah.
And we are getting a Blade movie.
It's been announced.
That's true. And we have the Morpheus movie and the Sony Spider-Man verse, which I guess is somewhat in the MCU.
Yeah.
Because they've got Vulture in there.
It's going to be interesting. I'd be interested to see how that stuff plays out.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to do a quick Spider-Man tangent because I think this is a very interesting topic of conversation. What do you think of the fact that, or the rumors that they're going to make the third Spider-Man movie a Spider-Verse movie with Tobey Maguire and Andrew Garfield?
I'm torn. Like, I love the idea. I want it to happen, but I think it should be a Spider-Man 4, not a 3.
I couldn't agree more.
Because of the setup they did in Far From Home with the a perfect Kraven storyline you could have set up.
Yeah, Kraven, or really like anybody. Even if it was like over stuff with the Sinister Six, like at least it would have been focused on Tom Holland's Peter Parker. You know, like he finally, and now Doctor Strange is confirmed to be in it. So we already have like another mentor character coming in. Had Iron Man in the first one, Nick Fury in the second one, Doctor Strange in the third one. Like, he needs a chance to shine on his own without being overshadowed by other superheroes.
Yeah. Yeah, I think they should wait one more. Let him have his trilogy first, and then you'd be like, okay, now this is the Spider-Man Avengers, per se.
Yeah.
Where it's the three Spider-Men.
If they, like, set it up at the end of the third one for, like, a fourth bigger movie, do you think that could work?
Oh, yeah. I mean, I could see them, like we know they're confirmed, or, well, we don't really know they're confirmed for it, Andrew and Toby, but everything's pointing to that they are signing on to it. So I really hope it's just a cameo at the end or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Especially because, like, it seems like this might be the last Marvel Universe Spider-Man film. So if they're gonna put it solely under Sony's umbrella after this, then that's when they should have like the Spider-Verse, because they can focus on like bringing all their characters in.
Yeah.
But yeah.
And I feel like, I mean, unless this was John Watts' plan all along, I feel like it seems a little late in the game with filming starting like this week.
Yeah.
That it'd be bringing in like a Spider-Verse story, but it was a plan all along. Who knows?
Yeah, I know they did. They do have Jamie Foxx coming back as some version of Electro. Whether he's
I've read an interesting article about that,
mm-hmm.
and like he was under a contract for like multiple movies after the second Amazing Spider-Man. And so I think it's just them thinking, or I heard that Sony is just re-optioning his contract. Like he agreed to this, and it's kind of a way of like, they don't have to go through the whole casting process. They don't have to like change the pay, you know? Yeah. It's like already all contracted and they're just choosing to reuse it or go back to it.
But he is confirmed to be Electro, though, yeah. Right?
Yes.
It's just not confirmed whether it's the same one from the Amazing Spider-Man movies.
Right, which I hope it's just completely different. It just happens to be the same actor.
Yeah. Oh, they did it with J. Jonah Jameson.
Yep, exactly.
J.K. Simmons. A lot of J's there. But the real question is, does this mean we could get Nick Cage to reprise his role as Ghost Rider in the future? Bringing it full circle here.
I think it's possible, but...
Do we want that?
I don't know. Probably not. I mean, and then the whole deal with Marvel Television makes it interesting because they had the Robbie Reyes version on Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.
Yeah, which was awesome, I thought.
I love that. Yeah, I actually want to watch that arc again.
I did this last week. I was like, I'm going to watch all those Ghost Rider episodes.
Yeah. And then they had the TV show planned for him too, for Hulu. Then it got canceled when they kind of decided to fold Marvel Television.
Yeah. They Hulu does have that Hellstrom TV series, which is technically Marvel, but they removed like all signs that it is Marvel from the movie. But I think that was originally going to tie into the Robbie Reyes series.
Yeah.
Sorry. It is a series on Hulu, not a movie. Don't know what that's like, but yeah. Apparently it's got a lot of Ghost Rider characters in it, which would make sense since Hellstrom is also the son of the devil in Marvel Comics. But yeah, so any other thoughts about the Ghost Rider movie, complaints wise, or what's already there at least?
I would cover it.
Oh, I have one more thing. This is like kind of a nitpicky thing. I really enjoyed Nicolas Cage whenever he's like acting like he's in pain because he's super over the top, and that's one thing that it's really fun to just watch him bug out. So I kind of wish that every time he turned into Ghost Rider, there was at least some small version of that where his skin's like burning off and everything. Cause it looked cool the first time he did it. And then the other times it was just like, poof,
yeah,
Ghost Rider. But yeah, so we're going to take another quick break and then we will be right back. I don't know how accurate this is to the comics, but in the second Ghost Rider, it's revealed that like the Ghost Rider spirit is like its own, like person-ish, like it was a demon. But then in the second one, I don't know, do you care if I spoil it?
No, go ahead.
Somehow he ends up redeeming the Ghost Rider demon inside him and he becomes like angel powered and then he gets like blue fire and everything. Which has interesting repercussions. But so it's not like something that gets passed down into other Ghost Riders. It's like they're all different spirits inside them.
Huh. I mean, that kind of makes sense with that universe. Just the way, like, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like the devil or Mephistopheles. I can't even say it. But, you know.
Mephistopheles.
Yeah. Mephistopheles. Yeah, I can't say it. But anyways. Yeah. That's like how it would make more sense that way for that version.
Right. And that's also explains why like Sam Elliott's still able to become a Ghost Rider.
Yeah.
And why like the OG Ghost Rider, if it was the Johnny Blaze version in Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., had a different looking skull than Robbie Reyes did. It's because they're different spirits technically.
Yeah.
Which also, I think that's why there's a cosmic Ghost Rider in the comics, who is actually Frank Castle from the future, who basically is like a space Ghost Rider, which that could be cool to see in the movies, if they brought back, I forget the actor's name.
But John Bernthal or something like that.
Yeah, John Bernthal as that Ghost Rider, the Cosmic Ghost Rider. That would be dope.
That'd be cool. I still need to watch the second season of Punisher.
I think it's better than the first one.
Ooh, I enjoyed the first. So that's saying a lot.
But crazy. Yeah, I don't know. It the plot's a little more convoluted, but I feel like the characters are more interesting. And you'd have like it's more clear who the bad guys are and everything too.
Yeah.
Or most of them. All right, you ready for the pitch fest?
Oh yeah.
All right, let's hear it.
All right. First off, really just everything to do with Blackheart, I would give him more motivation, flush him out way more, make him a threat. You know, just everything with him. Like, that's number one to make this movie better. Number two, I probably would, I don't know, I think what we said earlier about making it so Johnny and Scovern. I forget already.
We were just talking about the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Ghost Rider, Robbie Reyes, which you should definitely watch that series, that arc especially, instead of this movie. That's why we're confused. But anyway, so sorry. You were saying about Johnny.
And his girlfriend. Can't remember her name already.
Roxanne. Yes.
Roxanne. That they need to stay together and I think flesh that out too.
Yes.
Those are my two big things.
Like stay together from the beginning?
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree.
I mean, I think one thing that I'd like to see that wouldn't maybe necessarily work for this movie, but it's more of a, like the anti-hero type stuff too. Instead of just like, I mean, I understand like it's an origin and he's learning his powers and that, but.
So give him. Sorry.
Yeah, kind of flesh him out as an or he gets a superhero before he gets up against the big bad. Like, you know, he has wait years for him to get his powers. Like, he should have his powers from the get-go and, like, learn to live with it and become this, like, even the, like, traveling hero. Like, you know, almost like, kind of like the Incredible Hulk series with, like, back in the day.
Yeah, and, I like that.
Kind of like, so he's just traveling. He's traveling the country and helping people out, even if they don't know he is.
Yeah.
And I think I would give him the true, like, anti-hero, and then it would be, and it's like, okay, he deals with all these people, but now here comes the real challenge in Blackheart.
Mm. I feel like that pitch especially would work really well as like a Netflix Marvel type series.
Yeah.
Where you're like building up the villain and the hero slowly before they have their final showdown. And then you could make it a little grittier too if you're not trying to make all that PG-13 box office money.
Yeah.
But yeah, I agree. Those would definitely be some good fixes. And especially like with Blackheart, like half of what makes a compelling superhero movie most of the time, is a compelling villain, as we've seen with the Joker in The Dark Knight, Killmonger in Black Panther, and most of the Sam Raimi Spider-Man movies. But yeah, for sure.
Most.
So for my pitch, I don't think I would rely too much on the story here. What I would do is make a mockumentary that's all drawn in with the star power of Nicolas Cage. And the basic premise is that Nicolas Cage really wants to be a superhero, and then the devil comes and he says, if you take this role as Ghost Rider, you will have countless movies that you are in to come, and you'll get to play a superhero. And he's like, oh, cool, I get to be Ghost Rider. So then he stars in the movie Ghost Rider, and then he's in a bunch of crappy movies from then on out, and he's like, oh, this deal with the devil ruined my career. And then the real Ghost Rider shows up, played by Sam Elliott, and he says, hey, Nicolas Cage, you and I are going to team up and we're going to fight the devil and we're going to get your career back on track. And it ends with him beating the devil and he gets to star in the almost universally beloved action horror movie Mandy, and we all love Nicolas Cage again. The end.
And we get a National Treasure 3.
We get a National Treasure 3. So that's my pitch. Has really nothing to do with the actual movie.
That'd be fun. Though.
Yeah, you could almost keep. We'll keep your version of Ghost Rider as a movie, and then we'll make my version also. Which
behind the scenes, mine can be the movie within the movie in the show.
Yes.
A little Inception type scenario.
The spinoff. Yeah. All right. So yeah, that's our thoughts on Ghost Rider, and you also heard our thoughts on Spider-Man. But yeah, Tanner, what's your favorite superhero movie that we've done so far?
I wonder what we just done.
Yeah, we've done Justice League. We did Justice League, Dark Phoenix, and Ghost Rider.
Oh, out of those three.
As superhero movies.
I mean, I'd probably say Justice League. I think it was like, out of those three, if I had to pick one, I had to watch Justice League. Because I kind of like Batflick. And then,
yeah.
Ezra Miller's Flash. Like, there. Yeah.
Yeah. I'm definitely looking forward to the Snyder Cut on HBO Max.
Oh, yeah.
Did you hear that Jared Leto's coming back as the Joker?
I did. That excites. Hopefully we'll get some of that Batman backstory fleshed out.
Yeah. I hope they kind of change him from Suicide Squad, because I wasn't a big fan of him in
that movie.
But it'll be cool at least to see Joker and Batman like interacting again, if that's what they're going to do. I hope they're going to do it. They have 4 episodes to do it, so let's get her done, Zach.
Yeah. I forgot they're making that a miniseries kind of thing, where it's like 4.
Yeah,
I'll be good.
Yes. Maybe we need to do a Snyder Cut of Ghost Rider. I think he would be a good director, actually, for that character.
Yeah.
Get some nice slow-mo, fiery shots. Real edgy soundtrack.
Yeah.
Could be cool. But yeah, so that about does it for our task for today. Tanner, do you have anything that you want to... I keep wanting to say the word pitch. Do you have anything that you want to recommend to our audience? Anything you want to plug that you've been enjoying?
I mean, I know Halloween would probably be just about day of Halloween or coming after, but if you like cheesy comedies / kind of horror, Hubie Halloween, Adam Sandler on Netflix. It's pretty good.
Speaking of enjoyably awful actors.
That might be our October movie for next year.
Yeah. I watched that movie with Alexa and our friend Kendall. It was just so bad, but it was very fun to watch for sure. Yeah.
A lot of Happy Gilmore and the other Adam.
Those references. Yeah, it was the most Adam Sandler of Adam Sandler movies.
Yeah, which was the intention, I'm pretty sure.
Yes. Yep. And if you have Netflix, besides your membership, it's free, so go ahead and watch that. Also, Ghost Rider is on Netflix, as is Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., so you can watch all the Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. Ghost Rider episodes, which I believe is season 4.
Yeah.
The first half of season 4. So
and he comes back for the season finale of that.
Oh yeah, he does. Yeah. Spoiler alert. And there's also if you did happen to like the Ghost Rider movie, you'll probably like the Hellstrom series on Hulu. I haven't watched it. Looks like it could be interesting from the trailers. It's got kind of an edgy mood to it, it looks like. But if you like dark heaven and hell fantasy stuff, that could be the thing for you. Anything else you want to plug, Tanner?
Not really. I feel like I haven't had too much to watch or play lately. It's new. Mandalorian comes out this week, season 2.
Oh my gosh. I'm good for that. I can't wait.
And then, I pre-ordered Spider-Man Miles Morales from PS4. So I can't wait to play that. That comes out in a couple weeks.
Yes. That does look like a good game. Anything Miles Morales related.
Yeah.
Spider-Man related.
And they did a good job with that character in the first Spider-Man game, so it's cool to be able to like kind of flesh him out more and play as him, as Spider-Man.
I'm sure it'll be better than Avengers from what I've been hearing.
Oh, that game. I bought it. It's okay. The story was just way too short, and I haven't touched it since I beat the story.
Yeah.
I'm not a big fan of, like, the online weird mix with single campaign. It's kind of weird.
Yeah. I'm not much of a gamer, as you know, but that's probably how I would be. Like, I'm there for the story mostly. But, And for my plugin, let's see. I will double emphasize, watch Hubie Halloween if you like to laugh at stupid movies. Sometimes it's a good break from all the tensions of this world. Also, I'm going to plug in voting. If you have not already voted early, please do vote in person if it's safe for you. If not, mail in your vote. It's probably too late to register for that, but if you have already done it and you just haven't gotten around to filling out your ballot, do it now. It's one of the most important things you can do in your lifetime. This is a huge election, whatever side of the ballpark you're on.
But,
So I would, plug in voting. Also, I read this really spooky comic by amazing cartoonist Emily Carroll. It's called Through the Woods. And it's really like a Victorian scary children's book brought to life, but enough to creep out adults as well. I would not read it to children. It would probably traumatize them, but it reminded me of the things that scared me as a kid. That's why I said that. Also, we will be dropping the first episodes of the Comics Crunch Club podcast. Those will be promoted as well. That is through Cardigan Comics, which Nerds Polish Turds is through as well. So we read a different comic every month. And this month we read Through the Woods. Next month we'll be reading something with a family theme because Thanksgiving. All right, Tanner. Well, it's been real, my friend. I appreciate you giving me your nerdy ideas and engaging me in this conversation because it's one of the only things I have left in this pandemic world.
Yeah, same.
Yeah. All right. That's all, nerdy folks. Oh, and a quick moment of silence for the lack of Mason in this episode tonight. And we're done. Okay.
There you go, CenturyLink.
Yeah, darn CenturyLink. If you want, you can write into us so Mason is convinced to get a better network or something. I'm sure he probably can only get CenturyLink, but that's okay.
I don't know. Based on where he's at, I don't think it's much of a choice of anyone else.
That's the thing. Tell Mason to move. We'll do that.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah. And good night, everybody.